Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
What did you just put the TV on, Lebo? Todd, what are you?
I put it on
NFL Network on one. And what else?
Turn it back on the George Lopez show if you wanted. Someone had this on TBS from last night.
No. What do we have? Do we have any movie channels?
Sure.
See what's on HBO. I don't want to watch sports. I got to talk about sports.
See what's on Encore.
Yeah, something like that's good. These are pretty good stuff there. Todd Lebo in here changing the channels on the televisions in the studio.
They work now. It's a new thing.
I like it. When will we ever get the feedback for the show that we do in the 6 o'clock hour?
We had
it's
it up,
up there. Didn't you see it?
It's up all morning.
All week.
It's up all morning.
I wasn't up there today.
Today you were. Yes, you were 100%.
I just changed it off the Border Patrol slate.
Yeah, you were up there all morning.
Do you even look anymore?
I'm telling
you, I wasn't. I'm on Steven's side on this.
We weren't up there today.
Yes, you were.
Because I looked at it, I said, I'm going to ask him why we're not up there.
What was up there?
You were up there.
Wasn't us. I'm just telling you, for the whole hour we weren't up there. He even said, he agrees with me.
Okay, but didn't you
So what, do you think just the slate's up?
I don't know, maybe.
Because the slate was just up just now.
Right. I mean, I put the slate up this
but
morning.
It was just frozen. It wasn't doing anything.
Okay, so that's what it was the whole day?
So it just stayed the slate the whole time? Okay, I believe that.
Because I was looking to see how my St. Gabriel volleyball sweatshirt looked, and it wasn't up there.
Huh. All right.
That's coming straight from there, right?
Yeah, it should be.
It's coming straight from the heart.
Yes.
I could also be mistaken, because I can't remember what happened an hour ago, but I was going to ask you, and then I ask you. I just want answers.
No, program feeds back.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back all week.
I haven't flipped with the switcher yet. I mean,
Yeah, you've been flipping with the switcher, haven't you?
I just put the slate up.
What about Mr. Slate?
What about Mr. Hand?
What about Mr. Leckie?
What about him? What's up?
What are you doing?
What am I doing?
Yeah.
I don't know. Just had breakfast with the wifey.
What?
Breakfast with the wifey.
Oh.
That sounds lovely.
What did you eat?
First watch, man. It's, you know, I think breakfast is highly underrated.
100%.
You know, it's like a Passover meal. But you can really do a breakfast well.
What's your standard go-to at first watch?
Oh, the chikichanga or the omelet with, like, chorizo and like green chilies and like pico. That's what I love. And we'll get like a table pancake split.
Oh, that's a great call.
I love eggs in all ways. Eggs over easy, sunny side up, scrambled, hard boiled. Bye, Todd.
Later.
You know, I get mad when people badmouth eggs. I defend eggs; they're delicious.
Yeah,
this is
so
unpaid
good.
Advertising.
Packed with protein. Packed with protein
for first watch.
Oh, for eggs.
Oh, eggs.
You know, this show, I'm not telling the sales department what to do.
No, don't tell them what to do.
But this show should be sponsored by eggs.
Eggs.
Yeah.
The Border Patrol brought to you by eggs.
Well, there's, you know, maybe we need to get Egg Cetera on as a sponsor.
Eggs. You're just dropping names in there.
A little free love. Maybe they'll buy some stuff.
I'm like Los Alamos. You know, my favorite breakfast place in the whole wide world is in Vegas at Bouchon
oh, really?
In Vegas at the Venetian. It's actually probably my favorite place in Vegas. Like over like getting a cabana and everything like that. Like I'm more hyped up to go to Bouchon for breakfast at the Venetian.
That's why I like you.
Yes. That's where I'm at. Maybe in a close second are the pools.
Nick Leckie joins us right now. Okay. A lot of things to unpack with your Kansas City Chiefs, as they lose to the Buffalo Bills. Were you surprised at not the fact that they lost, but the way they lost to the Buffalo Bills, how sloppy they looked, and really it just looked like Buffalo was the better team? Did that surprise you?
Yeah, you know, it did and it didn't, because I know Buffalo has had a weak schedule. But they beat the brakes off people that were put on their schedule, and they shut them out. They had two shutouts. Like, are you kidding me? Like, that's unreal. That's really unreal. Like, and so, and then Kansas City's coming off probably one of the toughest. And I'm not apologizing, making up making up excuses. Don't look at it like that. I'm pointing out facts, is that Kansas City's coming off one of the most difficult five-run gauntlet you'll ever see. Look at the offenses the defenses play. Look at the teams just play, like Cleveland, Lamb in Baltimore, Josh Allen. I mean, he's pretty much the final four of the AFC is what you're looking at for the to play into the AFC championship game. So and they've hit them all up, and they've come out lumped. You know, it's a tough gauntlet, and they've been exposed. And now it's like, all right, what are you going to do? How are you going to respond to this? You know, I missed the Chiefs teams on offense that were a beautiful story was told. Like there was window dressing before plays. You know, they kept under center, or they held the snap count, double cadences, motions, double motions. And there's none of that. It's just banal football is what it looks like from this offense. And it's like, hey, Patrick, throw it deep to Tyreek, or hey, Travis, find the hole in the zone. And that's it. That's what they're trying to do. And teams are like, okay, we figured that out. What's next? What are you going to do? How are you going to adapt? And they haven't yet. And it's just weird to watch, the no micro adjustment.
Well, you answer the question. What's next? How do they adjust? What do they need to do?
Well, everything we just said, like first of all, like you got to figure out, like, this is so a part of me too is like, man, I never thought about it, but the long-term ramifications of saying brand new O-line, so you got five guys you got to adjust to. How does this O-line run block? You know, like we can't do what we did last year. It's like we got to figure out a new, not a scheme, but we got to figure out the types of plays that work with this O-line and now with these different set of running backs a little bit, with Clyde being down. It's like, you know, how we get McKinnon and Williams involved. You know, what's their strong suit? How they run? What's their running style? Are they downhill? Are they, you know, more Le'Veon Bell, patient runners? And then how does the O-line block? You know, they got the beef to block up front, to do straight-ahead blocking. You don't need to do all the fancy stuff. Like, hey, man, here's a draw. Like inside handoffs, inside zone, you know, run between the tackles. That's what I'd like to see. And then, you know what? Warm up Patrick. Hey, Patrick, we don't want you to throw this ball 50 yards down the field, man. Let's warm you up. You know, let's get some simple throws. Let's get in rhythm. Let's find our tempo on offense, and let's do that. You know, almost treat him like a rookie again. Because I think Patrick was trying to shoulder the load, trying to do clips and highlights and try to carry this team. It's like, you know what? Let's take this load off you. You know, you got a baby at the house. You know, you're doing that stuff, and it's like, you know, let's warm you up, and then let's burn them deep. You know, and then in the second half, let's take shots. But you know what? Let's grind out these teams. You know, let's hold the ball for 7 minutes. Let's get a 10-play drive. You know, that's what we need to see more of.
I saw someone tweet, and I kind of agreed with it. There are times it feels like Patrick is trying to score 14 points with every throw.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. And you don't need to. You know, I mean, you don't need to do that every play. You know, you've made enough highlights. You know, you just got to, let's do basic. You know, there's obviously, you know, cover your ears, kids, you know, but there's lots of ways to make a baby, but, you know,
wow.
Right?
Wow.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Go on.
Uh-huh. Right? But
I'm listening.
Like, I mean, it all... You know, all roads lead to Rome, right? I mean, it's the basic concept.
Not all roads.
You don't have to.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
yes.
Yeah, that's all I was going to say about that. But yeah, but that's what they need to do. It's like, you know, you don't need to put your foot on the table or something like
that.
You don't need
the handcuffs, yeah. And the, you know.
Yeah, all that stuff. The masks and the costumes and cosplay.
I mean, sometimes those things are fun.
No,
like,
you
when you get down to the
those.
Goal line, you break those things.
Yeah,
I kind of like when Nick just said, you don't need to put your foot on the table, yeah. Your leg on the table. Okay, so.
I'm sorry.
Sometimes you don't even need furniture.
No, you don't need to be sorry about anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so. Clyde Edwards.
I wasn't prepared for this metaphor, but I'm ready for you to carry it as far as you want to.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire is on the IR, and he's expected to miss.
I thought he died, by the way. I thought he died. My back still hurts off that and knee.
Oh, I thought it was. I thought it was going to be worse than that. I mean, it's not good that he's going to miss at least 3 weeks, but I thought there was a chance we're going to hear, okay, he's out for the rest of the season, with the way that his leg was contorted under his body. But he's out. You have Darrell Williams, who'll step up, and Jerick McKinnon. And so I'm trying to look at the bright side. I have wanted Jerick McKinnon to be more involved in the offense, especially as a receiver, and I think he can be a part of what you're talking about. And is this could they look at this maybe not, I don't want to say Clyde getting hurt's a blessing, but look for the silver lining in this dark cloud and perhaps take this opportunity to utilize Jerick McKinnon a little bit more in the passing game.
You know what? Hey, you know what Daddy likes?
What's that?
Daddy likes hungry running backs.
Oh.
And this is both their times to shine. And you get this O-line, you get them figured out, see what kind of runs you do, and you get a running back who's going to explode to the line of scrimmage and is gonna step with confidence to the plays and, you know freestyle a bit if a gap is blocked or where they're going. I like a hungry running back. I really do. I don't think that I can state that enough. You got a guy who wants to be physical, wants to earn a spot, and says, you know, Clyde's hurt. You know, I'm going to step up my game. It's my chance to shine. Let's do it. And you know what? Let's pound the rock. Let's pound the rock, man. Just do that and just figure out this whole line. Like, let's do outside runs. Let's do counters. Let's do powers. Let's do traps. You know, let's figure this thing out. Let's figure this thing out. And I think you can do it with these guys. And you can be like the less glamorous, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt up in Cleveland, which, by the way, is one of my favorite running back duos in the league right now. I hate to say it. But you can do that.
Yeah. Hey, when it comes to that as well, the offensive line has to do the job, and a guy that played your position is out there playing with a broken hand now. Apparently played, you know, part of the game.
First series, yeah.
I've seen your fingers, you know. you ever play a game with a broken finger, broken hand?
Yeah. You can do, like, certain things with O-line. You need your hand as more of a club. It's going to affect how much you can hold. But, yeah, you can do that. I think the toughest thing I ever saw was, I think Tom Nalen tore his bicep, like, fifth play of the game versus the Chargers when they're in San Diego one time, the Denver Center, and played through a whole game with a torn bicep. So, yeah, it's O-linemen, man. We're just grimy. And just whatever it takes to get the job done, put a cast on it. Let's go to work. So you can, you can hide certain stuff. You can. And you can game plan, but I think that's tough. I love that about Tooney. He's playing with a fractured hand. That's awesome.
Nick Leckie's our guest. All right, Nick, I want to ask you about the defense. And the guy
I need a cigarette.
Well, you probably do. The guy that most, because especially for fans and hell in the media too, it's always more convenient to have a scapegoat. And to have someone to blame, you know,
it's a lazy take, but yes.
And so I think we can all agree that Sorensen has not played well this year, but we can also agree that he's far from the only problem. But we fixate on him because, like, two of the biggest plays in that game that stood out, the pass to Diggs, the pass to Dawson Knox, and both plays involved Sorensen and involved Tyrann Mathieu, shrugging his shoulders and letting everyone know, in case they didn't know whose fault it was, he's there to tell you, right? Which is a whole other conversation I'd like to have with you. But Sorensen played 100% of the snaps, and so then the easy argument is, well, Thornhill's not playing enough. He's only played 44% of the snaps. He needs to play more. Sorensen needs to play less. That's clearly not the only problem with the defense, but is that fair for people to want to see that? Is that one of the major issues? Because it's like, I see it, and I think that Sorensen's playing too much, and they're asking him to do too many things, but my God, these are professional NFL coaches who know way more than me. There has to be a reason why he's playing 100% of the snaps. So it's like, is Thornhill that bad? Do they not trust him? Explain this to us.
Yeah, well, there's obviously something that we're not seeing privately, like during practice or film room where they don't trust Thornhill to get in there and to play that role where, like, you mess up in practice and you're like, damn it, what are you doing? You know, give me Sorensen. And then that's why they want Sorensen to play. And sometimes, too, you have to know your personnel. And when I saw that, I go, that's not Diggs. That's not Diggs. That's not Diggs on Sorensen. Like, they're not. No, they're not. Oh, they are. Oh, they okay, man, man to man. Okay, they're going to do that. And that's the result. I was like, you can't. Like, you can't. That'd be like asking, like, hey, you know, hey, you go out there and cover their wide receiver number one.
No.
Like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? Like, that made me mad. I was like, that's what we're going to do? Like, that's the result. And then Knox won and was like, he's a good tight end or whatever. And, like, that's 50-50. But still, matchups, man. Football's a game of matchups. And if you can exploit those matchups, teams are going to get you. And I think, you know, not having Travarius Ward or Chris Jones, like, Jesus Christ, can this team get healthy at the same time?
No.
Right? They just can't. I've never seen this in my life. Like, usually you pay your debts to the injury gods, and then you're free the next year. And I thought for sure that's what happened last year. And losing four starters on the O-line, like, I thought for sure, okay, they paid that debt, they put pennies in their eyes, they've crossed the River Thieves or whatever it is, and they're good. They paid the ferryman. No, they haven't. And there's still injuries. And just, like I said, the Chiefs team, I think, is suffering from overconfidence from the beginning of the season. And then I think it just, there's no cohesive, like, it just no layers. There's no layers to the story, to the plot. And it just feels like just teams are just kind of having their way with it. You know, but like I said, again, grain of salt, week to week, teams are motivated. Kansas City's down, tough schedule. They've got beat down, man. They, you know, they've played playoff games, you know, and they've lost Super Bowls. They've lost 3-4 Super Bowls to other teams. It's their chance. This is the regression of the mean.
Did you just say that you've never seen anything in your life?
That's what I like. It's a strong statement.
I haven't. Just come on. Could we get some injury? Could we get some, you know what? And I say injuries. Everyone gets injured. It happens. But the injury report every week has been like, God dang, it's like they're Pro Bowl caliber players. It's not like the second or third string. It's like they're top guys. Are hurt.
I have never seen anything in my life.
There you go.
Nick Leckie joins. Okay, Nick, so what's the score going to be? How do you see this game playing out against the Washington football team on Sunday?
Oh, my God. I'm excited to see Chase Young test Niang and test Orlando Brown. You know, like, I'm going to see, you know, different matchups there. God, I hope. I'm not even going to lie to you. I'm not, like, obviously I do a podcast outside the trenches. I did not know who they were playing because I'm still mildly hungover from that Sunday night nonsense. I really am. Washington, I hope they can get a win. I hope this offense can get jump-started. I hope they can score 40 points. And, you know, Washington will get, you know, 23. That's what I'm hoping.
Jake was fielding a phone call from my father, so he was distracted for a moment. He wants me to ask Nate, what the hell did you mean by saying, hey, Nick, I've seen your fingers? What the hell does that mean, by the way?
He's got some offensive line fingers.
Well, you just got to elaborate a little bit. All you said was, well, you know, Nick, I've seen your fingers. What about Joe Tooney?
I mean, he's got those big phalanges.
I like to keep it vague. Yes.
I think you
my right hand is so messed up.
No. I think you have wonderful fingers.
I don't want him getting those big phalanges inside of me, as to quote Andy Reid, you know?
What time is it? Is it 10?
It seemed like with Duvernay Tardif, it was about the size of the phalanges.
They're like little baseball bats. And so I said, I will not let you do surgery on me. There's no way with those big phalanges that you're going to get inside of me, man.
Right. It's not the size of Nick's that would disturb me. It's the angle of it.
But are they? Would you describe your fingers as being little baseball bats, Nick?
Yes. Like softball bats.
Right. Right, that's right.
Some maybe slightly, you know, crooked.
We just needed to clarify because we didn't know what Nate meant by that, so we wanted to give him the opportunity.
I just figured, seeing his hands, that's a man that's had a hand injury.
Is that clear up things for you, Jay? Because you were confused by that comment. You just needed the proper context.
No, right. I wouldn't want them inside me either.
Exactly. Oh, jeez.
I hope you guys understand that.
So, Nick, take me back to a very young and curious and fresh-faced Nick Leckie at Kansas State, and tell me a tale about Farmageddon against Iowa State.
I just Farmageddon, man, we always got hyped up because for whatever reason, Iowa State always got up 21 points on us or 14 points on us. Like, it just, for whatever reason, they would just jump out to a quick lead, and then we would just come on strong, and we'd win. So 4 years, four wins for me. And to me now, I look at the previous highlights of Farmageddon is when the coach got was celebrating, and all they do is run out the clock, and they would beat K-State at home. And lo and behold, the running back fumbles it, K-State scores, and they win. And also the last second score a couple of years ago, I was back home in Grapevine watching it, where they beat him with a last second. I think it was Cody Cook. I don't even know who it was. It might have been, I don't know, last second pass the end zone to win it. So Farmageddon is lives up to the hype every year, minus last year, COVID year, when, you know, they thumped us 45-0 in the year before. But it's truly Farmageddon. I think it's a fun rivalry. Why we don't have a trophy like something asinine like the Golden Hat is for the Red River rivalry, which I don't understand, Todd. But I think Farmageddon, like, you can win, like, a golden plow. I mean, it's like the battle for the golden plow. Is that appropriate?
Sure. I mean, you were part of the rivalry. You can say whatever you want. I know it takes away from the college town, and that's but I'm a Kansas City, and I'd like to see that game in Kansas City once in a while. I'd go to that. That'd be fun. All hell would be breaking loose. K-State fans. Yeah, it's been there. You know, I mean, I... Once every 5 years or something. Sign me up.
Ooh, I like that.
I like college like football. Olympic, right.
Like every five. I like that. Yeah.
How do you That'd feel? Cool. Do you? We were a little bit surprised. K-State is 6.5-point underdogs at home against Iowa State. What do you think about that, and how you think this game's going to go on Saturday?
So I love this K-State team with Skyler. Like, it was such a breath of fresh air. And I mean, K-State had a chance to beat Oklahoma. You know, I saw that fumble live last week versus OU, or 2 weeks ago. And I was like, dang, K-State, man. And that guy returned all the way to three. I mean, K-State's got a squad that they're dealing with their injuries, but I like K-State's chances, especially at home, especially after what happened last year, that they're going to be motivated, they're going to be fired up. But Farmageddon will live up to its name, man. It's going to be a battle, and I'm thinking it's going to be one of them, like, 40 to 37 sort of battles.
Oh.
Is what I'm with K-State coming out on top. So does that mean what's the over under?
The over under for that game is 51.5.
Take the over.
All right.
So because it was funny because I was just about to ask you, all right, how do you stop Breece Hall this year? Because that was obviously a big problem last year. But it sounds like maybe you're not expecting anybody to stop anybody in this game. It's going to be a shootout.
It will be. It'll have its moments, you know, where you see defensive stands, but then I think offensively, I think there's a lot of firepower on both sides. And then I think, you know, I think Deuce Vaughn will have another 100 where he'll rush for 100, you know, maybe catch for 100. And then, like I said, with Skyler at the helm, man, this offense is wide open. You got everything you need. Everything with Perry Ellis Thompson.
Perry Ellis. So,
he's been there forever.
Jake, you've been given plenty of advice here to take Kansas State and the 6.5 and to take the over. How strong do you feel about that now that you've heard Coach Gary Barnett and Nick Leckie pretty much agree with each other? Is this going to push you? Do you have great confidence here, or are you still a little bit iffy? Are you on the fence here?
No, it sounds like a 5-unit bet. One out of five.
What does that mean?
One out of five?
Yeah, what the hell does that mean?
That's the highest you can get. Like, that's the best bet you can make. Strongest
really?
Bet.
Is that what they call it? Would you refer to that as a lock?
A lead pipe lock.
Okay, before we let you go,
Stone Cold Lead Pipe.
Lecky's Lock.
Lecky's Lock.
Lecky's Lead Pipes.
Nick Leckie on the show right now.
Wow.
So many kids with those bad jokes.
And I don't know what you're going to say here, but one final question, because I like to talk to you about food. Yeah. You had a tweet with a wonderful looking picture of food from Arby's. What are you saying about Arby's here with this picture?
I see, like, I love Twitter because I love hearing people's inane thoughts. Like, I could do my dream podcast would be like tangents or randoms,
right?
And just be whatever. Just like let's have like phone callers and let's give us a topic. I think there's a lot of slander with Arby's. Arby's people accuse Arby's of being a front for Al Qaeda.
Wow,
is that true? You know, do people accuse that?
No, not Al Qaeda, but just some sort of money laundering operation. Because they're like, who the hell goes to Arby's? And I often wonder that myself. I go, why don't you see many Arby's closing down? And there's people, there's a whole group of us who enjoy Arby's.
I love Arby's.
Honestly, yeah.
I love Arby's.
A lifetime ago, I was a big Arby's guy. The curly fries?
Right. Oh, their curly fries are the best in the business.
Their chicken sandwiches are divine.
You can
which is ironic.
But you can understand this, Nick. Yeah. Like, a lot of times, it's dictated by what your kids like and what they'll eat without any resistance.
Yeah.
And the kids love the Arby's. They love the curly fries. And, you know, they got not a bad gyro if you're in the mood for something quick like that.
But the
roast beef, I
love the roast beef sandwich.
It's some horsey sauce.
I see that you have horsey sauce and Arby's sauce there. Are you both?
Yeah. Now, it ain't no lion's choice, but I tell you, I'll still eat it. I'm sorry.
Lion. Don't even.
I like it way better than Lion's Choice.
No, I like Lion's Choice.
Arby's is good. And I remember the 5 for 5 when you
Oh, hell yeah.
I get that college all the time. But I'm telling you, the sesame seed bun and the proportion of meat to the bun, the ratio is brilliant. It hits the Lecky quotient, right? It's like a 4-to-1 meat. And you can order like your half pound of meat.
Yeah.
That's how they do it. In between two slices of sesame seed bun. It's glorious. I love Arby's. And you're right. And I will die on this hill. Best fries in all of fast food are the Arby's curly fries.
Really?
The best fries.
They are the best. Yep.
They're the best. You can't beat it. There's no greater fry. With Freddy's sauce is like the way to do it.
That Freddy's sauce is the best.
Like a root sauce.
I'm a big fan of the Chick-fil-A waffle fry.
Not enough of them. Not enough of them. Because of the size of the waffle fry, you only get like 4 of them in one little box.
Well, and you order a couple boxes.
That's right.
That's a man that's always thinking right
enough,
there.
A portion is not, that does not like calculate with fast food.
No, you can fit more of the smaller fries into
box. If I want more, then I'll order more.
Yeah, I'm correct.
Fair.
It was important you to express yourself after posting that picture.
I really appreciate that.
And I'm glad that you included horsey sauce in that because I can eat that right out of the packet.
Oh, the horsey sauce.
Delicious.
Yeah, apparently one of my teammates says you mix the horsey sauce and the Arby sauce.
Been there, done that.
He was a fullback. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. That is, that's where it's at. You combine those two, you're a winner.
Now I want some roast beef. Thank you very much, Nick Lockey. We will talk to you next week.
Thanks, gents. Have a great one.
We are having a great one.
Nick Lockey. I like that.
Now look at me right now. Do you, I know you're not gonna, but do you right now, do you have a taste for roast beef?
My mouth is watering.
Did that tickle your fancy? I can tell you're fidgety in there.
God, their chicken sandwiches. I love them. I love their chicken
filet. When was the last time you had some red meat?
December?
Mm-hmm. Not even a taste?
December.
Did you come close? Like you almost like, I got it. Damn it.
Bacon is what I miss the most.
Have you had like poultry?
Nothing? Fish.
How about some ham?
Nope.
If you could have, because you all you eat is fish, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And so if you could have any, if I tell you today, you can have your meat.
Okay.
And eat it too. And then we wipe the slate clean, you got an hour.
Right.
Where are you going?
You want to know?
Right, like if you have it right now, it's been since December.
You want to know?
You got an hour. Where are you going? That'll get you anywhere in this town.
I'm going down to Anton's. I'm getting a bone-in filet.
No, this guy wants a bone-in filet. He's skipping right past the fast food. He wants the real stuff.
Yeah.
Look, you look sad right now to me. You look like you're going to cry.
Anton's bone-in filet. Yeah. Oh, grass-fed.
Well, you're grass-fed from what I've learned over the years. Jake Gutierrez, grass-fed producer on Sports Radio 810 WHB.